glad you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, April 25th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Leland, and today we introduce you to my friend, Sean Degenhart. Sean is the founder and director of Gospel Fest Ministries. Welcome, Sean, to Mark and Friends.
Hi, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I've been wanting to have you and just to share some of your fantastic music with our listeners. In a paragraph, explain what all encompasses your musical ministry.
Okay, well, I love Southern gospel music. First exposed to it through the Bill Gaither homecoming videos, fell in love with it, and almost became like a sponge, just absorbing anything Southern gospel. Mm. So Gospel Fest Ministries is kind of a three-part ministry. We do live concerts in our area here in Central Illinois. I call them kind of Branson-esque type productions. We just have a lot of fun. We involve a local community choir. We go out, I take a small group to go out to churches and do concerts and presentations. And then we also do a lot of music production work, whether that's engraving songs for songbooks and preparing sheet music for different groups or publishing our own books. And then, of course, I do the Gospel Fest Hour radio program.
That's a really great program, and it's on all around the United States. How many now stations are you airing it on?
About 160 stations.
Incredible. And that started right here in Central Illinois. And now it's
going
even around the world. Aren't you in different countries?
Yeah, at one time, I can't still verify it today, but I know at one point we were on in Kenya, Scotland, and Japan.
So you are a history buff. You love all things history. When did Southern gospel, you call it conference music, camp music?
Convention music.
Okay, convention music. When did that begin?
The long version, and I'll try to be brief, in the late 1700s, so think American Revolution time, there was no public music education in the public school system. And congregational singing had really taken a downturn as far as the quality of singing. So churches and communities would hire itinerant singing school teachers to travel from town to town and present 5 or 10 day singing schools. And they would use shape notes to train the congregation not only in how to read music for congregational singing, but also raise up song leaders to be able to lead the music in the churches. And these continued throughout the 1800s. And then in the mid-1800s, when people like Anthony Showalter and Elisha Hoffman and some of those gospel songwriters, Fanny Crosby, about the time they came along, a shape note system of notation was kind of being solidified in the South. And you may say, what are shape notes?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you have the do, re, mi's and the music notes on the scale, the lines in the spaces.
Yeah.
Well, in shape notes, each note of the scale is a different shape. So you're not only learning relationships of from a line to a space or space jumping up to a space, you know, that those intervals, but you're also, your ear is trained to recognize singing from shape to shape. So no matter what key you're singing in, you're going to be able to read the music. So that's how the shape note hymnody developed, late 1800s. In 1900, and this is kind of the beginning of gospel music, James D. Vaughan out of Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, started a publishing company called the James D. Vaughan Music Company. And he was the first to publish these shape note songbooks and hired a quartet, the first gospel quartet he hired to go on the road and travel to these different communities that were having these, you know, maybe the fifth Sunday of the month gospel sing or their homecoming services, things like that. And these quartets would sing songs out of this book to help promote the songbook sales. So that's how kind of all that developed. And then in 1924, so 100 years ago this year, V.O. Stamps and J.R. Baxter, who were two Southern gospel songwriters and publishers, they teamed up to form the Stamps Baxter Music and Printing Company. And that became the largest shape note gospel publishing company in the world. And at their peak in the 1940s and 50s, they were publishing up to 4 or 5 songbooks a year, all with brand new gospel songs. So it's not just, you know, a set of songs that they keep recycling through, but every year, brand new gospel songs that churches, especially in the South, would just eat up because they wanted to see what the latest song from Albert E. Brumley was, or Luther G. Presley, or a lot of these classic gospel writers that were continuing to write. So that's kind of how the Shape Note Convention music and gospel music got its beginnings.
And of course, it's all about praising Jesus in the music and in the message. Isn't that amazing?
Exactly.
People were
songs
hungry.
Of hope. They were. And especially if you think about rural America in the South in the early 1900s, you know, through the Great Depression, there was a lot that people needed hope for. You know, they were out working in the fields, not knowing where their next meal was coming from. So a lot of these songs dealt with heaven and the hope of heaven and getting through the trials of the day.
How much of the music that was written during that time is actually being heard today?
A small percentage. We all know songs like Turn Your Radio On or The Sweetest Song I Know or When the Saints Go Marching In. But the Stamps Baxter catalog in particular has over 18,000 songs in its copyright catalog. 18,000. And so I love going through these old songbooks and finding songs that have never been recorded before, may not have been sung in 70, 80, or 100 years. It's just a wealth of historical stuff that I love to go through.
You know, if you ever want to get Sean something for a special occasion or his birthday, just go to an old bookstore and find the oldest songbook you can. And I'm sure you would be thrilled.
I would. And even eBay has been a great source for me for finding these old songbooks. So it's a treasure.
Now, are you able to dig in there and actually bring these songs back to life?
Yes. I recorded an album probably 10 years or so ago with my friends Stephen Hill and Allison Spear, who are both Gaither Homecoming artists. Stephen has since gone on to heaven. And then Mike Allen as well, a bass singer. And we went through and found some of these old songs that nobody had done before and released an album, made it kind of sound like it was coming from the 1940s. Mm-hmm. So kind of that jazz, big band, bluegrassy kind of sound. It was a lot of fun.
Which one would you like to share with us now?
Ooh, let's go with, this is my group, the Gospel Fest Singers, and this is a song called The Sweetest Song I Know. It was written by Albert E. Brumley, and it's one of those songs where every voice part kind of has their own melody line in the chorus, and it all kind of works together in a fancy counterpoint, and you just pray that you end up at the same time at the end of the chorus.
Here's the Gospel Fest Singers on Mark and Friends. that a fun song? You know, it's got a little toe tap to it. That's going to get you up and going here in the morning on a Thursday. Hey, Sean, you've also got another song you'd like to share with us. Give us the backstory on that.
Okay, this song was written back in 1940, again published by Stamps Baxter, and was written by a gentleman named James B. Coates. And this is actually the song that I kind of credit the whole Gaither homecoming phenomenon, how it got started. Back in the early 90s, the Gaither Vocal Band was in the studio and wanted to kind of pay tribute to some of their gospel pioneers and heroes. So Bill invited people like James Blackwood and Jake Hess and the Spear family and the Happy Goodmans, invited them to come record this song. Each one did a little solo part, and they had a big mass choir singing on the choruses. So this is the song that kind of started it all for the homecoming, which Bill Gaither is the reason that I'm in Southern gospel music.
Yeah.
When I was in college and I heard he was coming through to Illinois State University, where I was a student, and I thought I'd like to go see what this guy was about. I knew his name from the hymnal, and I knew that most people that were in the hymnal were dead.
Oh.
So I wanted to find out a little bit more about Bill and what this gospel music was. So that's how I fell in love with gospel music. So we wanted to record this on this album as kind of a tribute to that as well. It features Gaither homecoming artists Reggie and Lady Love Smith and Stephen Hill, and also our very own Gospel Fest singer Eric Walker, who lives down in St. Louis.
Beautiful. Let's enjoy it. Another great song from the Gospel Fest singers.
Temptation sore,
We're talking with Sean Degenhart on Mark and Friends. He is with the Gospel Fest Singers Ministry. Now, Sean, you also do a lot of live work. Tell us about some of the concerts that you host, because it's not that far from Springfield. You're just over in Peoria.
Yeah. Every year, starting back in 1999, so we're going on, we just last year had our 25th Summertime Gospel Fest concert, and that's kind of how the whole thing got started. I had just become familiar with the Gaithers, and I wanted to do something similar in our area. So over at Grace Presbyterian Church, we started this Gospel Fest concert, invited people and singers from all over the area, maybe churches that don't have big choirs. You know, it'd be a great opportunity for them to sing these classics. And we just put together a Gaither-style program. We had soloists from throughout the area. We had a live band. And now, over the last 25, 26 years, that's kind of grown. We sometimes do a live radio broadcast 1940s theme where we have an announcer and we do some funny commercials and sponsors, have the live band. We've also done a patriotic Gospel Fest concert, which is what this year's theme will be, where we just celebrate God's goodness and the freedoms we have here in America, as well as the freedoms, you know, more importantly, that we have in Jesus. So those are some of our summer events. The Christmas concert is my favorite. We do that at a theater in Washington, Illinois, just outside of Peoria. This year will be our 20th year, and it's a Branson-style Christmas show. I have a group of about a dozen singers that sing with us, and we do a little bit of everything. This year's theme is going to be a 1940s radio show, so we'll have the live Gospel Phonics Orchestra. We have a local news anchor that is going to be our radio announcer. Again, the live band, the funny commercials, and the sponsors. We even might be doing an old Fibber McGee and Molly radio sketch, complete with the sound effects and the door slamming and, you know, the feet tapping and all those kind of things. So that's going to be, that's always the Saturday after Thanksgiving at Five Points Theater in Washington, Illinois.
That's amazing, Sean. I mean, wow, I kind of feel tired thinking about all that would be poured into all these productions. I bet that takes quite a bit.
It does, and I love it. We just last month did our fifth annual Music of Easter concert, much more of a kind of a night of worship with the Gospel Fest singers, and we go from Palm Sunday all through Holy Week and sing these wonderful hymns of Easter time, like He Lives, you know, Low in the Grave He Lay, Man of Sorrows. A lot of these songs, you know, I tease that Christmas, you get to sing Christmas songs usually about a month, maybe up to 6 months if you work at a department store, because they start Christmas so early. But Easter, you only get Good Friday and Easter. And there are so many great Easter songs that we don't get to sing anymore. So I just wanted to create an evening of worship where we could just sing all these wonderful Easter songs. So we did that as well. And that's becoming a favorite here in the area, too.
That's great. Well, let's hear another song, Sean, from the Gospel Fest Singers. What would you like to share with us?
Yeah, this is sort of the theme song of our radio show, and it's aptly titled, Turn Your Radio On.
To the songs of the fathers and mothers and the many friends gone on before. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Some eternal morning we shall meet them over on the Hallelujah shore.
In touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
fun time listening to Southern Gospel music. Thanks so much for being a part of Mark and Friends, Sean.
Thank you, Donna. It's been a pleasure.
If you'd like to find out more information about Sean Dagenhart and the Gospel Fest Ministries, you can go online, gospelfestministries.com. That's gospelfestministries.com. We'll be back again with Sean Dagenhart next week, where we get to dig a little deeper into another wonderful artist, Fanny Crosby. Coming up tomorrow on Mark and Friends is Pastor Jason Schiffo, along with others in the studio for the Bible study. This is Mark and Friends on Great News Media. Have a great day.